I'd ask that you turn with me now in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Having finished the mini-series on who we are before we left for our vacation, we'll be taking up again the series on the Gospel of Matthew. And where we left off there was the close of chapter 7, the finishing or the closing of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And now we begin the beginning of Jesus' healing ministry as recorded by Matthew. So as we begin this morning, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 4 of Matthew chapter 8. You can find this on page 1033 if you're using your Pew Bible this morning. So I'll begin by actually reading Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, through Matthew chapter 8, verse 4. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him, and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." So in our reading of God's word, let us once again bow in prayer and seek his blessing. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words that you spoke in the Gospel of Matthew and this account of a leper coming forward, seeking healing. We pray, Lord, as we look at these verses, that you would guide our hearts and our minds in your truth. May you, Father, bless my mind and my mouth, and I may think and speak clearly your word this morning. It is in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Well, to give some background to the text before us, to kind of refresh our memory, to jog our minds, this passage comes immediately after the Sermon on the Mount. And we're left with those closing two verses of the crowd's reaction to the teaching of Jesus. They were astonished that Jesus taught with authority, unlike their scribes. If we consider the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus taught them, the thrust of it was that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to have a righteousness that is greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. A righteousness that is only by faith in him alone. And he goes through his sermon and he gives some examples of what it looks like, what this great righteousness looks like. How it's not just outward motions and an outward display, but at the very heart of the believer. And it is a righteousness deep within. So that even when no one's looking, we're doing what is right in God's eyes by the strength and the grace that he gives us. He then closes his sermon with a series of choices that he sets before the people. There's, you know, the broad gate and the narrow gate and so forth. There's the golden rule. There's the tree and its fruit. And there's the building the house upon a rock or sand. And so then Jesus finishes his sermon and people were left astonished. But then in the verses we have before us this morning, Jesus is coming down from the mountain followed by great crowds. And he has an interaction with a leper who comes forward seeking to be healed. And as we look at these verses, the theme that we'll be looking at is to be a witness for Jesus who has made you clean. To be a witness for Jesus who has made you, he has made me clean. And we'll be looking at it in 3 points. First of all, verses 1 and 2, as Jesus comes down, a leper approaches him. Secondly, Jesus is willing and able to clean the leper. And lastly, the cleansed leper is called to be a witness. So first of all, Jesus comes down. As Jesus comes down, a leper approaches him. Now we see in this opening verse that when Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. As we've already seen in the verses before this, they were astonished at his teaching, and as Jesus got up and began walking down the mountain, these astonished crowds followed him as well. They were astonished at his teaching, and they basically wanted to see what else he would do, following him down the mountain. But as Jesus comes down the mountain, a leper approaches. As we consider this scene as a leper approaching Jesus, we're not given the exact state of this man's leprosy, what he may have looked like, but we can imagine, you know, someone covered in rags, maybe hair was long and scraggly, who had been exiled and living in exile for a number of years, most likely dealing with this disease. The one question that maybe comes into our minds as we consider a leper approaching Jesus is, what exactly is leprosy? And the Bible speaks about leprosy. What does the Bible mean when it talks about a leper or someone who has leprosy? Well, the laws governing leprosy are found in the book of Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. And these chapters cover a variety of diseases. It covers a variety of skin ailments, from things that are curable. Someone may have a spot they're not sure of, and they go to the priest, he examines it, and just to be sure, God says, well, set them aside for 7 days, re-examine them in 7 days. If it hasn't grown, they're clean. Or if it has grown, they're unclean. But there's also stipulations for after this disease has gone away, that they can actually come back, be re-examined by the priest, and give sacrifices and offerings, and kind of be reinstated back into the community. So it actually covers, as you might read through Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, a variety of skin diseases. Not just what we would consider in our day and age to be leprosy proper, but a variety of skin ailments, both curable and incurable. But we also learn from Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 that it wasn't limited to living tissue. That garments could have a leprous spot, and you would have to go and have your clothes checked out by the priest about its leprosy. A house could have leprosy. They're given stipulations about when they go into Canaan and start inhabiting houses they didn't build, if someone says, well, I think there's a case of leprosy in my house, they're to bring the priest by, and the people are to then leave the house, and they're to sit and you know, examine it from time to time. And if it's just contained within one brick, they're to remove the brick, maybe those surrounding it, and replace it. So houses could come down with leprosy. What this shows us in the variety of uses for this word leprosy in the Old Testament is basically that when the Bible speaks of leprosy, it speaks of uncleanness. Something that is unclean. If someone was diagnosed with leprosy, they were supposed to wear rags and go out of the covenant community, and since being exiled outside the camp, and as they go, they were to shout, unclean, unclean, so that people around them would know, okay, avoid this person. He is going outside the camp. But as we consider leprosy, and it deals with uncleanness, and we read in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, we read these words, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So when we consider a leper, leprosy, it simply has to do with uncleanness. I had to do some research for this sermon. I did a Google search on leprosy. And for better or for worse, I looked at the images that Google provided of leprosy. It is a horrific disease. We don't deal with it too much in our nation, but there is actually the disease that causes leprosy is in our nation, in our society. It doesn't happen very often. What we consider, you know, third world countries still deal with this disease, very debilitating disease. You know, people whose hands are no longer there, whose feet are no longer there, whose eyes are basically gone. I mean, this debilitating disease, very disfiguring and grotesque. Why would God use such a disease to describe uncleanness? Well, it's a great picture for us of what makes us unclean. For the fact is, each and every one of us, apart from Christ, are spiritual lepers. We have spiritual leprosy. We are unclean. And just like that disease, the physical disease that we consider leprosy, is so debilitating, slowly eating away at the individuals where they begin losing pieces of their body. They are disfigured and made grotesque. So too, the leprosy in our own life, sin itself, if not dealt with, if left to remain in us and to fester and to grow, is just as debilitating. See, brothers and sisters, as Christians, we're not immune to leprosy. It may not be the physical disfiguring leprosy that we might see if we do a Google search of it. It is no less a very real, dangerous leprosy that plagues us. If we are not watchful, if we are not careful, sin itself is leprous. And so, as we think about these verses, a question that you and a question that I, what we have to ask ourselves, is what is our leprosy? What is our leprosy? What sin is there within us that we're holding on to, or maybe a sin that continues to come back and come back? What is our leprosy? What are we holding on to? What is destroying our spiritual life, our walk with Jesus Christ? Well, the answer to dealing with our leprosy is to kneel before Jesus. You see the leper here as he approaches. Great crowds following Jesus. He knows the laws. He's supposed to stay away. He's exiled. He's supposed to be alone. But he comes and he kneels before Jesus. That word kneel is to be translated literally as worship. He worships Jesus. He bows down before him, reverencing him, knowing that Jesus has the power to heal him if he were just willing to do so. So how do we deal with our leprosy? We kneel before Jesus and submit to him. That moves us to our second point. Jesus is willing and able to clean the leper. In the last part of verse 2, we read the leper's words, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus responds by stretching out his hand and touching him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Really three things in this verse and part of verse 2 that I want us to notice. First of all, the faith of the leper. As he comes before Jesus, he falls down on his knees before him. He doesn't question the fact that Jesus is able and has the power and has the authority to heal him. He simply says, "If you will, you can make me clean." In that simple sentence, he acknowledges the authority that Jesus' teaching displayed, that the crowds had witnessed and were astonished by. He acknowledges that Jesus has the authority and the ability and the power to completely heal him and restore him, and he falls down in faith before him, seeking his help. So it is by faith that this leper comes before Jesus, falling before him in his unclean, wretched state, seeking the Lord to cleanse him. And the response of Jesus is remarkable. He stretches out his hand and he touches him. Now, as you recall to mind the healing stories of accounts of Jesus, we know that he didn't have to do that. How many times can we recall to mind Jesus simply saying, stretch out your hand? And, you know, the man with the withered hand in Mark chapter 3 stretches it out and it's healed. Or as we read in the passage in Luke, he says to the man, you know, your sins are forgiven, first of all, but then pick up your mat and walk. And he picks up his mat and walks. Why did Jesus touch him? This is against the law. If anyone were to touch someone who is unclean, they themselves become unclean. Jesus was not supposed to touch this man. So what is he doing? Jesus is very clearly displaying in his actions what Paul later reveals as a simple truth in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. That for our sake, he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In this simple action of Jesus, his stretching out his hand and touching the leper, Jesus is giving a visual summary of his ministry, of his humiliation. Now, he left the realms of glory to tabernacle, to live with us, to be among us, God with us. In the muck and the mire of our sinfulness and our wretched lives apart from him. Just like he reached out and he touched this leper. Each and every one of us, each and every one of you, myself included, if we have believed by God's grace in Jesus Christ, Jesus has reached out and touched us as well. Our belief is evidence of the fact that he has touched us. He has grabbed us out of our miry pit and set us upon the rock who is himself, Jesus Christ. So we've noticed the faith of the leper. We've noticed the willingness of Jesus. Thirdly, notice the power of Jesus. There wasn't any delay. Matthew says, immediately, this man's leprosy left him. Can you imagine that scene? This man stumbling out of whatever exile he had been left to, covered in torn rags, his hair long and unkempt, his body probably falling apart in various ways, smelling. He fell before Jesus. He reached out and he touches him, and immediately, this man was completely restored. And we can maybe visualize it a little bit better because we've seen movies with spectacular special effects. And we can kind of visualize maybe some dramatic scene where there's maybe a gust of wind blowing his claws around, and all of a sudden his skin becomes smooth and maybe any missing fingers or parts grow back. It's a marvelous scene. It's immediate. The power of Jesus clearly on display. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, Jesus has touched you. He has cleansed you of your leprosy. Now the difference between the way Jesus cleansed this leper and the way he has cleansed us is that our healing process becomes a lifelong journey. You know, there are those stories that we hear of people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ and some horrendous sin that they experienced was immediately done away with. But even those people, there are sins that they still deal with. There are sins that we still battle, that we still deal with on a day-to-day basis. But the comfort we can take from these verses and seeing the power of Jesus and knowing that he too has touched us and healed us is the certainty of our healing. It's not a matter of if this sin will be done away with, if I will have victory over it, if it will stop plaguing me. It's just a matter of when. In his sovereign timing, by his decree, he will completely remove what ails us. It may not be till the very end when he comes. But our healing there will be no less dramatic than the healing of this leper in the Gospel of Matthew. It will be immediate in that day. But know that Jesus has cleansed your leprosy. And that brings us to our third and final point. The cleansed leper is called to be a witness. As Jesus has cleansed this man, he says to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." First of all, Jesus tells him to show himself to the priest, to offer the gift that Moses commanded. He is instructing this healed leper to follow the law, to do what was prescribed, to not abandon what Moses had taught, to come to the priest and to bring the required sacrifice, to be examined by the priest, to be declared publicly, "You are clean, you are healed," and to be reinstated back into the covenant community. You know, that's not really surprising to us, but what's surprising is the first part of what Jesus says to him. He says, "See that you tell no one." See that you tell no one this amazing miracle that has just taken place. And Jesus commands the man, "See that you tell no one. But go and show yourself to the priest." Why would Jesus do this? Well, some commentators are agreed that there are really a couple of reasons why Jesus may have given this command. You know, as Matthew is unfolding the beginning of Jesus' healing ministry here, one possibility is that it would have created too much of a stir too quickly. You know, this man who was healed miraculously, going about proclaiming loudly what Jesus has done. You know, he already had great crowds following him, and it no doubt would have brought even greater crowds and more people, as we see as the Gospels unfold, that was inevitable. The crowds grew around Jesus. But the commentators point out that it could have really hindered Jesus' earthly ministry if such a thing happened just right out of the gate. But in addition to this, there's also, in this particular instance, one possibility is that had this man gone out, instead of going to the priest and offering the required sacrifice and being declared cleansed, it really would have turned the authorities against him too soon. You know, Jesus had already just finished in the account of Matthew a sermon where he says that the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees isn't enough. Now, if the scribes and the Pharisees, and it was a charge that was laid against Jesus, was that he was doing away and saying that you don't need to obey the law. Well, here Jesus, he heals a man, and the first thing he tells him to do is to follow the law. Go to the priest. Follow what was laid down so that it wouldn't have anything against him at this point in his career. If he was telling people to abandon the law, don't follow the law, but to go and to present yourself. And Jesus ultimately did this for a proof to them as he closes verse 4. The word proof here could be translated as a testimony, a witness. To go present yourself before the priests as a witness to them. As a witness to who Jesus is, and his power, what he has done. You know, as we, although the college basketball season is over, and you probably thought that college basketball illustrations were done for a year. There's at least, you know, one final one. I didn't make no promises of that. But in the NCAA tournament, the last game that my beloved Jayhawks played, there was a senior on the team, and I won't mention him by name, but he was caught very clearly hitting an opponent on the other team in a place, really, that no man should ever hit another man. It was a stupid play. And to this day, I don't understand what he was doing. But what really angers Jayhawk fans the most is that this was on the national stage. The whole nation, people across the world were watching this game. And they see a Jayhawk doing this to an opponent. What is that going to reflect upon the institution? About our program that's supposed to be known for its history, its tradition, its first coach invented the game of basketball. They're going to see us as a dirty team. That's not how Jesus is supposed to play basketball. So what is Jesus saying to this leper? He's saying, be a witness for me. I've healed you. Represent me well. Go to the priests. Follow the law. Follow the ordinances. So that you will be a witness to me. If Jesus has cleansed us, if Jesus has reached out and touched us, removed our leprosy, what is our witness? How is our witness? How is your witness? How is my witness? If Jesus has cleansed us, what is our witness to the world around us? How are we representing Him? And that's ultimately what we have to ask ourselves. You see, Jesus in this passage, He's coming down from His teaching on the mountain, and this leper comes before Him, humbly bowing before Him, and He is cleansed, and He is healed. And the command that He has given is to go, to be a witness. To be a witness to Jesus by following and living in a way and keeping with the teaching that Jesus has just given. Present Himself to the priests. Follow what was prescribed. Represent Jesus well. And so, brothers and sisters, that leaves us with the theme that we are to be a witness for Jesus, who has reached out and touched us, healing us, cleansing us from our leprosy. And so, brothers and sisters, let us be a good witness to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gracious Father, Lord, marvel at how You have worked in each of our lives. We look at this account of Jesus healing a leper in a miraculous way. Immediately, as soon as You touched him, he was healed completely of his leprosy. We marvel at these accounts, Lord, and we long for such a healing in our own hearts, in our own lives. But may we acknowledge and understand, Lord, that You have in fact touched us. That You have in fact healed us. And although we may day to day struggle with various sins that plague us and corrupt us as leprosy would our physical bodies, Lord, may we cling to the understanding that You are sovereign, You are in control, You have the power and the ability to cleanse us, and may we fall on our knees before You, seeking more urgently the cleansing that we need from You. And may You, Lord, throughout our lives be whittling away, removing the sins that plague us, making us more into Your image. And we long and look forward to that glorious day when You return, when finally every single sin that plagues our hearts will be completely and totally removed for all of eternity. We praise the Lord that this day will come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.